I'm not a liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat. I am your pastor. We are shaken as a culture right now.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Intersection, a podcast where Pastor Jeff Bogue, Pastor Kemp Boyd, and Bishop Joey Johnson take a real look at how race and relationships intersect. How are our unique and diverse lives intersecting with thousands of people on a regular basis? How does the gospel intersect with each facet and issue we face? And how can we set our lives on the life of Christ as a source of compassion for each of our relationships? Keep listening as we cross paths on today's episode of The Intersection.
Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Intersection Podcast, where we get to really intersect into the lives of people as God, as Jesus, and the Holy Spirit intersect with us. And as always, I am flanked by two friends, two brothers in the faith, one being Bishop Joey Johnson and the other being Pastor Jeff Bogue. And welcome, brothers, to another episode. Seems like it's been a long time since we've been together, and nothing has happened in our world since then. You all are still as handsome as ever and doing the work of the Lord. And I see one more book there behind you, Bishop, that you have added to your collection. I think it's on the upper left side.
You got to keep adding them.
The shelf.
Got to keep adding them.
And Pastor Jeff, handsome. I think he does that to us just to intimidate us a little bit.
He's like, I'm handsome, so you probably need some glasses.
Listen. Pastor Jeff, he's like, I'm going to sit in front of my bookshelf of many books.
Yeah. I you know what? I just gave up. I gave up. I'm like, you know what? There's a point where you're like, I'm going to be as smart as Bishop Johnson. And then you're like, yeah, I'm just going to listen to what he says.
There you go. I'm going to write
it down. It's easier.
You guys are really funny, man.
I'll write it down and I'll make it mine. And I'll say, this is what I came up with.
That's right.
And this is what happened. So,
Pastor Kemp, you just do like some people do. They say, you know, this is what somebody said. This is what I think somebody said. This is what I always say.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it goes. That's how it goes.
So, you know, it's interesting that we call this podcast The Intersection. And we get to intersect, obviously, with one another and continue to build on a relationship that I think God has birthed out and given us for you two for years. And then I've kind of been engrafted into the relationship and build a relationship with both of you as well. And now we get to intersect with kind of current events of what's happening around us. As many know that I'm sure are listening, a week ago yesterday, there was the tragic loss and death of Charlie Kirk, and the ripple effects. And I think the shockwaves that it sent not only throughout the country, but also throughout, I would say, Christendom, has had an effect on everybody, you know, white, black, brown, old, young, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, like everything in between. And I think in rooms, different rooms I've sat in different conversations that I think I've listened to and heard, not necessarily from Charlie Kirk, but just from, I think, body of Christ people have ventured to extremes. Right. And, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, one is right, the other is wrong. I guess the question that I present to us today, what is Jesus and where is Jesus in all of this? As we continue to talk about in the city that we live in of Greater Akron, and we look to bring and expand his kingdom, if you will, here and help. And paracleting with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit paracletes with us, you know, what does that look like for us now that we've had, if you will, this event that has happened, and how has it shaped and rocked us in the body of Christ? So I just kind of want to throw that out there in the different spheres of influence that both of you have, but also as you lead churches and lead people and lead discussions, you know, how has that been for you?
Well, let's talk about, I'll set the context as the impact upon Jeff is going to be, or Pastor Jeff is going to be quite a bit different than the impact upon me. And we just did a thing on Saturday called on kingdom politics and talked about how do we approach politics from a kingdom perspective. And I made one of my statements was Jesus was political, extremely political, if you understand the context, but he was not partisan. And what we're talking about is partisan politics. So you have these extreme reactions, polarizing extremes out on the ends, that makes it very difficult to even have the conversation because people are like, we don't want to talk about it. We shouldn't talk about it in the public square when what we need to do is talk about it because we need to be giving kingdom perspectives on everything that has to do with this. So I'll start out right there because the extremes of treating him as a Christian martyr, which is what some whites and evangelicals seem to be trying to do, when I had never heard of the man until he was assassinated. And then I went out and began to do some research and whatever, and found out that much of his talk is vitriolic, it's violent, it's racist, and yet he proclaims himself as a Christian. So the contrast for me is, I'm not sure about Christianity. Anybody can say they're a Christian, but nobody should be killed violently for their beliefs or for whatever their political persuasion is. That's just over the board. And we need to talk about not only the personal impact, but the cultural impact. Where are we as a country when you can't make a statement, and if you do, you're in fear of your life. That's a statement about America, not just a statement about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I think I talked about this some on the weekend, not necessarily about Charlie Kirk exclusively, but what I said to our church was I said there's times when darkness rules the headlines, and we had Charlie Kirk's assassination. This young girl be murdered on the train. There was a stabbing in Akron. There was a shooting in Akron. There was a school shooting. There was a suicide. And it's all the darkness ruled the headlines. And I said there was two things that I think are important. First of all, I said this. I said I am not a liberal or a Democrat. A Republican or a, I'm not a liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat. I am your pastor. And we are shaken as a culture right now. Like that's what happens when darkness rules the headlines. It was also the anniversary of 9/11. That's what happens when darkness rules the headlines is there's times that we're shaken and we are old enough, especially Bishop and I are old enough that we can look back at other cultural moments where we remember where we were, we remember how we felt, et cetera. And you are too, Kemp, but we're just older than you know, so we have more of them. And there's more that's gonna come. And so I said, and I'll say this again here. I said this on the weekend, I said it on a podcast I do called Mixed Messages. I said, if you can't or won't hear me as a pastor, then please turn the podcast off. Don't put me into a political bucket. Don't make assumptions about what my political views are or aren't. You have to let me take you to God's word and let God's word frame what's happening. And if you won't do that, then there's no way for us to have a conversation because you're going to assume I'm saying things I'm not saying. So I'll kind of say that off the jump. The second thing I did was I said, we have to remember in our culture that the battle is not against flesh and blood. And so Satan is a liar, a deceiver, a divider, a murderer. He seeks to kill and destroy. So wherever you see violence, murder, lies, division, and chaos, you're seeing the attacks of the evil one. And where you see love and compassion and grace and truth and unity within the body of Christ, you're seeing the counteroffensive of the kingdom of God, which means that when we talk about something like politics, which is the arena Charlie Kirk lived in and worked in, we can disagree deeply about political positions. And I would say that much of what he did is he went into a political arena that was a college campus, is what he was best known for. And he had political conversations there. And I don't think he was a racist or a bigot. I think he would keep those conversations deeply political that would disagree with different parts of the cultural aisle. Now he would be accused, like all of us are accused of things, of those things. But I think if you pressed into his to him personally, I don't think you would find that. And there's lots and lots of like testimony about that. I don't know the man, never met him, but lots and lots of people affirming him. I do not believe he was a spiritual leader. He was a follower of Jesus who took his faith into the public arena. And how he intermixed his faith in politics, I wouldn't personally agree with how he intermixed his faith in politics. But everything that I could find about him was that he did that sincerely. And there are people on both sides of the aisle that do that. And I'm like, that's what you think and how you're functioning, especially if it's your occupation. Like, if your occupation is to be a governor or a senator or a councilman, like, okay. But I didn't see anything in his life or in his testimony that would say to me he was faking it or using it. He wasn't getting votes. He was fighting a political battle that he believed in and espoused. In that context, while doing that publicly, openly, everything's on the internet, no secret agenda. Like he's pretty easy to figure out if you watch him enough. He was assassinated, and I, first of all, I'm sickened that a father, there's a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old child that will never interact with their father again. And I don't know, especially if you're in the body of Christ, I don't know how you do not have compassion for that. I think what happens is when we see someone killed, like we watch their death, it needs to shake us that the guy that was killed in Akron, or the person that was assaulted in their home in Akron, like that's what happened to them. You just didn't see it. So the compassion for the Christ follower needs to run the board. The mercy needs to run the board. The gospel of Jesus needs to run the board. And that applies to everyone. And we serve a Lord that specifically tells us to love our enemies. And specifically says to bless those who persecute us. And that has to frame our responses and even how we filter things. And then if we want to sit and talk about DEI or taxes or whether or not you should have transgender bathrooms, that's a different layer than someone deserves to die. I think you have to keep the conversation separated, so to say, like that when it comes to the church. And I was actually on Sunday, I talked about our relationships, the three of us. And I said, I'm white, you guys are African American. We have different theological positions. And I joked around. I said, it won't be till we get to heaven that Bishop knows that I was right the whole time. Like we all those kind of jokes. But I said, but we love each other and are committed to each other. We don't have to agree. But you don't let those differences harden a heart. And you don't cause that to say, first of all, that it's worth taking the life of someone else. Or that you would celebrate that, or make that person a saint or a deity. You have to get in the middle of that, and that is the spiritual war that we live in. We're in the middle of a spiritual war. The earth is the battleground, and the prize is the souls of men. And so you saw what you saw was satanic. And whenever you see murder and lies and confusion, here at home, it's satanic. It's an attack of the evil one doing what he does. So I think for the church, if we can't come, and I'm talking about capital C church, if we can't come to that baseline conversation and decide that our baseline response is loving our enemy, blessing those who persecute us, that the baseline response is to pursue people with gentleness and respect. I don't even know how you have the conversation. And I want to say, like, back in the day when we started this podcast was started in response to everything with George Floyd, really. And part of our goals was to say, we want people to see three brothers in Christ who love each other, who do not agree about things. But we wanted them to see, like, there's a baseline response of, I love you. Our answers are gentle, respectful. And then we think through it. And Joey, you say it all the time. You can only do you can only do theology with friends. Well, you can only do politics with really good friends, to have those conversations. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I am, it's funny. I'm a little too old to have known Charlie Kirk inside and out. Like, the younger you are, the more that his voice was a part of your world. I knew about him because of social media. I had some assumptions. I think some of them have been proven wrong. And I think when I hear and, like, try to listen to, like, his faith, it's probably been proven legitimate in my mind. And then I think I don't feel called to give my life to what he felt called to give his life to, as far as investing my life. And then I wouldn't agree with him politically on a bunch of stuff, actually. But I do appreciate that he was trying to have the conversation. He wasn't shouting people down and those kind of things. He was trying to engage the talk. And in that way, I think it was healthy, I guess, political debate.
Man, I appreciate that, Pastor Jeff, and also Bishop, because it's two different perspectives, right? Because it's two, y'all are two different individuals. And, I think for me, like, there's not, and I've been in rooms with men, 25, 30 men, having this conversation. And I was, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to remain quiet, and I did, because I just wanted to listen. I think the one thing that I noticed, I didn't hear anybody asking each other questions as to why. Hey, if you felt on one extreme that he was a racist, well, why did you feel that way? On the other extreme, if you felt like, oh man, he was a follower of Jesus, he was inspirational. There was not any question on the other side. Hey, tell me why, he made you feel that way. And I think that it took out, if you will, even some of the humanity, but it also showed me how in our society we are contending with each other and right and wrong. And it's almost this proving of, I was right, you were wrong, I was right. And so therefore we put that on people. And we leave out the questions, and really we leave out the essence of why we keep coming back together with one another. It's because we get to filter through questions. And it's not for us to get to a means of saying, okay, Jeff, man, on this episode, you were right because you made these points and you outwitted Bishop, or vice versa. And I just think a little bit that's kind of where we are in our society. I was unaware of Charlie Kirk before last Wednesday. And, and I got met with those extremes that Wednesday when I talked to one friend who says, oh my gosh, I just love, love, love how much he debated scripture. And I was like, well, we really shouldn't be debating scripture because scripture can stand on its own. But I believe I knew what they were talking about, right? And then talking to somebody else, it was like, well, you know, he was a racist. I was like, wait a minute. And both people I love dearly. And so now I'm caught up in this curiosity of, hey, help me to understand why you feel that way and why you feel that way. And some of the things, and Pastor Jeff, you just said, hey man, I don't think Charlie was a racist. I'm curious as to how you can say that, not from a standpoint of questioning you, right? But then some on the flip side, if some of these things that I've heard, I'm like, man, and that doesn't make him a racist, but I am saying, wow, like you can be highly intelligent, but this is where we need the wisdom to guide in how we do deliver something, or how we do kind of compare and contrast maybe different things or perspectives. And the big thing that everybody I've talked to has said, well, he said that, man, the black family was better during slavery. Now, I didn't hear this, but that was the one thing that I've heard from black brothers and sisters. Like, hey man, this guy said, man, we were better off in slavery. Now, I don't know contextually all the stuff that led into it, and I had a friend of mine kind of, if you will, give me a breakdown of what he meant from a standpoint of, hey, black family was actually more together during slavery than maybe when, what is it that we have now? I can't think of it. It just slipped my mind that quickly.
You're busy.
It's just, go
let me say
ahead.
why, let me clarify what I said. First of all, I agree wholeheartedly with Pastor Jeff. I have no judgment of him in terms of who he was, whether he was saved or not saved, or I have no idea. The finitude of the flesh means that we all have our issues. We all have our struggles. We all have whatever. And I think his death needs to be raised to the highest level so that we make sure that we are interacting with, this is not some political pundit who died, just some ideologue. This is a person who's
No, Bishop, he was a
got
person,
people.
but he was a martyr, though, for the body.
No, I don't think he's a martyr, but that I'll say that in a minute. And then Jeff and Jeff also said
I'm going
that
to poke
too.
here a little bit, right?
Right.
Because
But
that's
I think, but he was a person. He was a legitimate person. The Imago Dei, the image of God, is upon his life, and he should be honored, and no one should be violently killed or assassinated for what they believe. Now, I did look up any number of things that he said, and some of the things that he said, I can't say whether he's racist or not. I don't know the man, but I can say those statements are racist to me. When you say things about black people, and not just black people, but across the spectrum, and they're said violently, and they're said with force, and they're said repeatedly, they're racist to me. So that's just a different perspective. We don't have to agree on that. That's just where I am in terms of what I've heard and how I've grown up in this country. But we had that discussion on Saturday where a lot of people, African Americans, are saying, so where's our hope? Is this what America is about? Well, America is a racist nation, always has been, probably will be to the end. So what? We are fighting for the kingdom of God, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's our hope, to continue to do what's right because it is right.
So before you go, Pastor Jeff, Bishop, could you just give our audience more clarity in a difference between him not being perceived as a racist, even though some things were said that were?
Right. It depends upon who's listening. There is an author I've been preaching about, and I can't even remember his name right now, but he uses the term thrown, thrown, that you are thrown where you are because of how you were raised, the experiences you had, your ideology, all of that throws you in a particular cultural place. So depending upon where you stand, you're going to read him as a racist or not a racist. But when you say he is a racist, I can't say that to his heart because I don't know his heart. I don't know him.
Good.
But I can say those kinds of statements are racist in their nature. And if you're black, that's how you're going to take it. Now, that doesn't mean that it's true, that that's where he was in his heart, but it means that's the impact.
No, that's really good, Bishop. I like the breaking down of that because I think because we are so emotional, then we get pulled and we get thrown into that direction in that way, which is the way I think the enemy wants us to go because these are
Yeah.
divisive things. And so I appreciate the further breakdown of that. And again, not knowing his heart. So that's good. Pastor Jeff, I'm sorry.
No, the I think Bishop and I are saying the same thing. I am not a defender or an apologist for Charlie Kirk. Like I said, I don't know. I don't listen to him on a regular basis. I run across his reels here and there. I spent more time listening to him since his death than I remotely did ever in life. Never listened to his podcast all the way through, nothing like that, you know. So, but what I found and what I've been hearing is that in a attempt to win a political battle, a label, a hateful label, racist, you call somebody racist, it's one of the most horrible things that you can be called. Now, if you earned it, but if you accuse it, it's different. And I'm what I see in a political battle is I see people taking statements. I don't want to say out of context, but they're being weaponized because he was anti-DEI. He was critical race. Those are political debates, right? And so he would say things. He would give facts and figures. He was a debater. It was what he did. It was just like his occupation, so to say. I absolutely agree that you can perceive those things as hateful, and they can be received that way. But when I hear other people of different races who knew him, who weren't saying a guy I heard on the internet died, they were saying my friend was killed. Like nobody was saying, and he was a racist. And so I'm like, careful with that. Like, because if you say, if you, when you take a label and you throw it on everything and everybody, you dilute the power of what you're saying. So if somebody's a true racist, they need to be dealt with and they need to be confronted and they need to be restricted, right? If there's a true racist in a political office who is saying that if you're not white, then you can't live here, and they need to be pushed against and their power needs to be restricted. If somebody's disagreeing with you politically and you don't have the wherewithal to push back and prove them wrong, which is what the public square and open debate is, then the cheap shot is you're a racist. And if somebody won't do what you want, and I'll be very vulnerable for a minute. I got called a racist one time, and it was because I wouldn't give somebody a job. And they're like, well, you're a ra-, and I was very, very angry. And I said, what did you just say to me? You're a racist, isn't that? I said, did you just, you're saying I'm a racist? Yeah, because you're da, 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 da. And I said, I got sarcastic. I said, well, I need to make some phone calls. I got to let some people know that, because I've been fooling them all these years. These people have known me for 20, 30 years. They didn't know. My wife, who is not white, she didn't know that I was a racist the whole time. And so I'm like, it gets thrown around without a context. And it's a way to look and say, I can discount everything you say by discounting you as a person. And whenever that flows the other direction from somebody, if somebody looks at you and discounts everything you say without knowing you as a person, it is hurtful and it's harmful. Now, I'm not defending all, I don't know all that Charlie Kirk said or didn't say. I'm not defending him. What I'm saying is Now we're talking about a dead man who was assassinated, who has no ability to change. To that Bishop, you sent that podcast over a little bit ago. It was really good, and I listened to it. And one of the things it said was, people change. So he cannot change. He cannot grow. He cannot be informed. He cannot get to know. And now we're people who that oppose him are like, that is his forever legacy set in stone. And I'm like, that is not the gospel. That is not the Christian faith. That is not to be the body of Christ. So I don't argue for or against him. I wasn't like a fan. I don't know. I feel the same way. I had people react negatively or in a negative way when the senator and her husband from Minnesota were gunned down in their home. People were like, that's what the liberals get. I'm like, what are you talking about? First of all, Romans talks about governmental officials. They were at least in the government. And I'm like, they were at home. This is crazy. I ran into this after 9/11 when people were like, we should nuke Iraq and Iran. I'm like, nuke them? Did you just say nuke them? This is crazy that is where you say that you're defined and directed by Jesus and you went to nuke them. And that is has to be confronted and it has to be addressed and it has to be disciplined and then it has to be discipled because you are now taking God's truth and applying it to your present culture. And instead of allowing God's truth to correct you and be above all of that. And I'm also taking God's truth and applying it to my anxiety and my trauma and my anger instead of allowing God's truth to inform and to alter all of that. And to me, I said this last weekend, I said, when one of Satan's tactics is he takes a spiritual battle and he turns it into a personal one. So I'm no longer battling the spirits. I'm battling Kent Boyd. You're my problem. And then I said to the church, I said, he wins a great victory when he convinces the people that are called to love the lost to hate them. So if you look in, if let's just say that you look and you believe that Charlie Kirk is a racist and people who like him are racist, the calling is to love those people.
Amen.
Or you believe that every liberal is going to hell. I can't believe they live that way. Well, the calling is to love those people and to bring the gospel, the enemy, and to bless those who persecute you. And so that's always my great concern. And that's what winds up being missing. And that's how the church, I like what you said earlier, Joey, the church becomes partisan. And like it's got nothing to do with race or culture or anything like that anymore. It's you think this, I think this, so we go to different churches. I'm like, what in the world are we doing in those moments? I don't think it honors the heart of God.
I wholeheartedly agree. I want to say that profoundly.
I don't agree with
And
you.
I want to say, and I want to say that as a black person, I want to say why I would say that what he says sounds, they're racist sound bites. Because that's how we come to understand one another, by listening to various points of view. I want to restate in all honesty and sincerity and with love. I don't think he should have been killed. I don't think his political realities or whatever I agree with, but that's no reason to kill the man. I can't say anything about his heart. I don't know anything. I don't know him. Only just started reading his material. But if what I read was true, and this is widely reported, those things I'm gonna say are widely reported. They're not just reported in one place or a few people are saying it. The kind of statements that we have going on in America now for a black person, where we are rewriting history, where slavery didn't even happen. And why are you guys having issues? And why is it always black? Or why do you understand the impact of what's been done to black people in America? Probably not, if you haven't been done to you. Not just black people, all other kinds of ethnicities. But if you say, I'm going to give an example that Judge Ketanji Brown and President Obama's wife don't have the brain power to even think. That was a statement of that ilk. And there are many of them. It wasn't just one or two of them, there are many of them. To me, those are racist statements. Now, whether they are, that makes him a racist, I don't know, because I don't know him. Beyond that, the problem becomes you have to listen to the people who are being hurt to find out why they're being hurt. And that doesn't justify hatred. That doesn't justify murder, killing, assassination. I heard somebody say the other day, they said, why are we using the word assassination? He wasn't, he didn't have a political position. The word assassination means you were killed violently for some reason. And in this case, a political reason. Assassination is the proper term. He was assassinated. Live, involved in something while he was doing it. So I don't expect to agree on certain issues because this is my reality. This is what I have to live in this country. But we can agree on a Christian basis that we ought never to use those things to tout hatred, violence. That's not where I am.
I want to go and talk about something, Bishop, that for me, what I'm hearing that you're starting to lean in, and Pastor Jeff, you had started talking about it as well. What we're talking about, I think, when, as Pastor Jeff, as you said, when we kind of go to this labeling or the extreme of labeling someone, right? And I think this comes back to, and tell me where this hits us biblically, because I know our time is coming. But like, I think people have been triggered so much that it has brought out people's deep pain and hurt to where it's almost like, and I don't know if everybody who says it believes that he's an actual racist. I think they probably are more to how Bishop Johnson had defined it. No, some of the language that he used was more of racist language. But the educational part of that is that, hey, maybe I'm calling it racist because, man, it triggered something in me. It triggered something because I haven't fully dealt with the grief that I have that maybe was established years or decades ago, whatever it is. So how do we, and going back to us from a standpoint of Jesus, the body of Christ, what we've been called to in one another, how do we help people in the body of Christ, people in our country, to grieve with the things that they're seeing and hearing that has triggered some of the volatility that we've seen? Like, I feel like my role as being a follower and disciple of Christ is to help people to grieve and to help people to work through some of these things that are triggering, right? Because I think it's triggered some things. When you turn on the soundbite and you hear this, you're like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? And you don't really grasp or feel the understanding of what's being said there. So that's what, as you was talking, Pastor Jeff, I was like, man, well, sometimes people say these things because I'm triggered by something that sounds very familiar of someone who maybe was in that category said. So I don't know the difference between what I've heard and what I've experienced to, man, I'm hearing something very similar. And so it just triggers all these different emotions that really I haven't yet healed from that are still influencing and impacting me now. So I know, Bishop, that the grief recovery method that we do here at Love Akron, that you've been a part of for years, is a really huge thing. Like, how are we going to be intentional about helping, I think, our viewers, our audience, people in the body, people in our world, just to grieve this and to grieve in general, not this necessarily, but in general.
Jesus' word is compassion. He uses it over and over again. We ought to have compassion for people who are hurting. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And it's not about agreeing. We don't have to agree. I don't know if there's anybody in the world I agree with 100%. I don't think I agree with myself 100%. So we don't have to agree. But we should have compassion for people, for where they are, for what they feel, for how they hurt, in order to build the kingdom of God. And we are all, if we're Christians, we're serving the same Father, the same Son, the same Spirit. So yes, we get triggered. We're going to get triggered because of the finitude of the flesh. But the most important thing is operating in the Spirit, not operating in the flesh.
I deeply agree with that, and the way that I would say it is this: I would say you have to get personal. This is the great temptation, and this is why I qualified. Like I don't want to talk about it if you're not going to listen to us, like because it's just going to start a fight. But this is a great temptation. The great temptation is to say is to pick up what he said about the Supreme Court Justice and Michelle Obama. And the great temptation is to say, well, wait a minute, he said that in a DEI way. Well, that feels personal to me. But he was talking about a system. Well, you don't understand how we have been oppressed as a people. Well, you should get over slavery. Well, how can I ever? And what happens is you're not having a personal conversation, you're having a cultural conversation. That's very different than a friend, a brother or sister in Christ looking you in the eye and saying, I know you like Charlie Cook Kirk, and this probably really shook you. I'm sorry that that shook you. It's very different than looking a friend in the eye and saying, I know that your experience as a black man is different than my as a white man. Congratulate, like President Obama's election is a really big deal, and it feels healing and empowering to you. That's very different than I voted for, I don't even remember who we ran against, the other guy. And when you get personal, you are now loving your neighbor as yourself. I don't want you to understand me as a category or a stat. I want you to understand me as a person. That's how I love myself. And when you love me personally and your eyeball to eyeball, what happens is this: I can mourn. These are Jesus's statements. I can mourn with those who mourn and have nothing in common with them politically. I can bear the burden of a brother who I cannot relate to culturally. And it's what Bishop was saying earlier. When I'm hearing you, like I have no idea what it's like to drive black in America. How would I know that? But I can listen to my friend, and because I understand his experience and his history and his story, suddenly what happens? I can understand what it feels like to be treated unfairly or to be prejudged. And you have to get personal. And as a family, a body, a bride, a household, a priesthood, a nation, these are all the things that God describes his church as being. But when you bring the cultural fight and you make that the fight within the church, you blow the family up. I got some heat for what I didn't
I
say
know you
th this week. And what I said to a person came to me very sincerely. They weren't being a jerk, and they're like, "You didn't say this and you didn't say that. Why not, Pastor Jeff?" And I said, "Because this pulpit's the Lord's. Th this is not the Fox News desk. This is not a podcast. Even what we're doing right now is different. than when the ecclesia gathers in the house of the Lord. So
Absolutely.
my job has one element to it in that setting. It is to take you to God's word to find truth and comfort and peace and direction out of it. Now, if we want to have a podcast and have a in-depth conversation, that's fine. If you want to have a podcast and talk fantasy football, you're not in sin. But that's not my job. If I'm speaking as a pastor, then I'm speaking from the heart and mind of God. I have political opinions. I rarely say them out loud. And people would be shocked what they are. But they're not, it's not important. Well, you're pro-life. Well, that's a moral issue. That's not a political issue. What about gay marriage? Well, that's a moral issue. That's not a political issue. Well, what about taxes? Well, that's a different conversation. Or gun right. Well, that's a totally different conversation. And so what happens when you get like a Charlie Kirk's assassination, which is what it was. I agree with you, Bishop. That's what it was. You mix politics, you mix Jesus, you mix culture, you mix background, and we can very quickly forget that we are all new creations in Christ. And our identity, our primary identity, is as a son or a daughter of God, as a part of the household of faith. And that has to inform our conversation. So I think when we talk about these, I'm not saying that we should be silent about cultural issues. I wasn't silent about cultural issues. I'm talking about how you ask the question, like, Kemp, how do we love each other and get past all of that? And I'm like, that's how you do it. And your opinions about Charlie Kirk as a public figure, I'm like, they can be what you decide that they are. I'm not going to argue that or defend that. Your opinion about a human being who got a bullet put into his neck, that's a personal thing. Now, that is a father and a friend and a husband, and I think that's where you have to go with it.
I want to say one thing, Brother Kemp, before you go, because I think we're in agreement here, which is wonderful.
I think that might be the 20th time we say we're in agreement, but nobody has agreed with Kemp. But that's okay. I'm not keeping
No,
track of it.
we said we. We
I
didn't
just
say
want to.
Kemp.
I just want
We
our
didn't say
audience to
Kemp.
understand and know that.
We didn't say Kemp. We said we. But the I want to mark the divide. The reason I want to do that is because if people don't understand the cultural divide, they will not understand the tremendous, marvelous love and power of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. They won't
Amen.
understand it because they think it's something that we should be able to just, well, you're a Christian, so why don't you agree? You read the same Bible. I want to talk about the divide for a minute. I want to give I want to draw the divide picture so you can get it. I was told, I don't know this to be true. I try to traffic in truth, not in what I'm told, that many white churches on Sunday took a bump. They were up.
That's
And
probably true. That's probably
many
true.
people got saved because of what happened. This is what I was told. I don't know it to be true, but I'm assuming it is. And that he was touted as a hero in many white churches. Now I want to go to the black church. I didn't even know who he was until this took place. There was no mention because he's no hero to us. He doesn't, there's a such a stark divide in what we experience that we just have to understand that. And once you understand that, then what we're doing right here on this podcast is a miracle. It is the miracle of the body of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit that we could listen, disagree, and still love and respect one another. That's a miracle. I agree on that, but we got to start acknowledging the disagreements. Like, here's the thing. I don't
Man,
Go ahead,
it's
get yourself in trouble. Go ahead.
yeah, I know this is hard for me to say that, man, because I love the both of y'all so much, right? But I disagree that first of all, you get to sit in front of the bookshelf and Jeff gets to sit in his office. Y'all got to get down to our studio at Love Akron and we got to do an in-person podcast. That's what I'm disagreeing about. We got to come together, Bishop, as a people in one room to do this podcast. I'm tired of this now. That's what I disagree on. I'm not happy about it. I haven't been happy about it for a long time. And so I need to let that be known right now.
Well, we
Okay, Jeff
both,
and I are gonna have a meeting and we'll let you know where we're gonna do
yeah.
these.
I will bear that burden for you. I hope you feel better, bud. That's been on your heart for a while.
Pastor Jeff, what we're gonna have is a blanket party for him.
Oh, man,
He may
stop.
not know what that is.
Stop
In
it.
the military, what we do is we drop a blanket over you and we begin to beat you.
See now, look.
In
Yeah, and I see
love, of
y'all
course, in
both. Your
love,
laugh tells me you
in
agree with me.
love, in love.
Well, I was gonna bring you some cheese to go with that wine.
Oh my
I thought
goodness.
maybe we could have
And I'm gonna bring the bread for communion. He was already in the blood.
look, see, and this is what Proverbs 17:17 looks like. Friends that love you all the time and brothers that are born for times for
There
about.
you go. That's it. You got it.
This is what we do.
That's
This is the
right.
body of Christ. This is the intersection. And this is how we connect with you. We connect with Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to continue to what? To nourish us, to encourage us, and to give us the revelation that we need so that way we can bring his kingdom here on earth. As always, thank you both for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. And thank you for your understanding. Love you both. And we look forward to seeing you next time right here at the intersection. Go in his peace, brothers and sisters.
Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice navigating all of the intersections in each of our lives. You can subscribe and follow us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. And we'd love to hear from you, so feel free to submit any feedback or questions to intersection@loveakron.com. That's intersection@loveakron.com. And we'll see you next time at the intersection.